Dr. Schultz, let's get back to how you got involved in all of this, and then we'll start talking about intuition in today's day. So you were doing all this, these things were happening to you. Go ahead, I'll let you continue with your story.
So I said to the intuitive that I went to see on how to get awake, I said, so if you tell me that my brain spells are because I'm not using my intuition, so how do I do that? She said, I don't know. Lovely. I get back on the bus and I go back to Boston. And essentially, I went to a bookstore on Newbury Street, and you know how you look for books. I looked on the shelf, and there was a book called You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. And there are affirmations. So I figured maybe the affirmations will help unfreeze my brain. So basically, like reps in a gym, I did the affirmations. One, 10 times a day, three of them at a time. And then over the course of that, about 8 months, my spells got better and better. And within 2 years, I started medical school. And interesting enough, now I'm starting a book. I'm writing a book called All Is Well with Louise Hay. That's on awesome. How to heal your life with affirmations, intuition, and medicine. It's interesting how things come around.
That's right.
Nonetheless, I start medical school. I start my MD-PhD program. I do 3 years of medicine, 3 years of my PhD, and now I have to go to the floor of the hospital and start my clerkship. And they give me the name and the age of someone, and they say, go down to the emergency room and pick her up. Well, you know, as a medical student, you don't know anything. You hardly know how to use your stethoscope. You know how to use the equipment. You have a white coat with all these little books on them with lists. So I go in at Boston City Hospital. There's no help. They tell you nothing. I go to the elevator toward the emergency room. I'm stuck behind a gurney, and Mary Brown, 48, pick her up. I just use that name all the time to protect confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
I look up in toward the ceiling, and I see the picture in my mind's eye of this lady lying on a gurney. And I see in my mind's eye this woman screaming, doctor, doctor, it's my gallbladder. And I'm thinking, wow, in these green stretch pants, clutching the right part of her abdomen, screaming, doctor, doctor, it's my gallbladder. And in the elevator with my clipboard, I'm thinking, well, how would I work up someone if they did have a gallbladder problem?
Sure.
Are you there?
Yeah.
So I look up in these little books in my white coat. You know, they have lists. Well, you know, the books say you check the right upper quadrant ultrasound. I have to drag her down to radiology. So I put that on my clipboard. So I'm making this hypothetical workup on my clipboard. The books say, you know, you have to check the bilirubin. You have to check the sclera of their eyes, see if they're jaundiced. And so, you know, I'm just doing the drill so that if in the event that someday I see someone with a gallbladder problem, I'll know how to work them up. By the time I get down to the emergency room, I pull, you know, the sheet of the emergency gurney, and there's the lady screaming, doctor, doctor, it's my gallbladder, and she's a lime green stretch band. I'm like, wow, what a coincidence.
Yeah.
And I had the, you know, the workup all arranged, and as a result of hypothetically having the workup all arranged, I was able to get out of the hospital faster than all the other medical students because they were there till 8 p.m. at night. I left at 4, and I was able to go home and actually read about gallbladder problems. The next day, I did the same thing again. It was a woman with bladder infection. And the third day, I can't remember what it was, but I did it 3 days in a row. And I'm like, wow, how do I do that? But I learned that I wasn't the only one that did that. In every shift, there was always a nurse. Whenever I was on call, there was always a nurse who's usually overweight and crabby who always knew what patient was going to get sick in code. And so at the beginning of your shift on call, you always kind of look for that nurse who was kind of intuitive. And you'd say, Mary or Maurice, what do you think is going to happen tonight? And they'd act aggravated, but they'd be impressed that you knew to ask them.
Yeah.
And they'd say, oh, I think it's John in room 11B. And so you'd say, should I eat early or late? And they'd say, early. Eat early. And then you'd ask them, well, what time should I be around with a code cart? And they'd say about 7. So you'd eat early, be, you know, around the code cart, and invariably that patient would code at 7.
Isn't that something?
They would always know. And so you would just kind of learn that there was all these people who were intuitive. They didn't say they were intuitive. But then, you know, around residency, I met somebody named Chris Northrup, and she worked in women's health. And I wanted nothing to do with intuition, actually. This was just some kind of little thing that you did to make you a better medical student.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be this academic neurologist, behavioral neurologist. And so I just wanted to match in the residency and then get the hell out of there. You got to understand, this was nothing. I didn't want to do any woo-woo stuff. Well, what happened was I matched. I woke up one morning, couldn't feel my hands. A spine that I had fused when I was 12, I have scoliosis. I know. I have a lot of health issues. I woke up, and the discs above the fusion, the Harrington rod, started falling apart. They fell out. And I had an MRI, and the doctor's like, we want to do a fusion in the next week. And I'm like, no. So I took 10 weeks, and I went to Maine, and I started working on Chris Northrup's book, and I started doing medical intuition to pay off my student loans. And I couldn't go into neurology because I couldn't stand up. So the only residency I could do at that time was something you could do that was sitting down, and that was, unfortunately, psychiatry. So I did psychiatry for a year and a half, but I hated it. I wanted neurology again. I applied again because I wanted, remember now, nothing to do with intuition.
Right.
I applied again, got in, and then two more discs fell out, and that was it. It's like God has spoken. No neurology for you. And at that point, Oprah Winfrey had heard about what I did. I got on the Oprah Winfrey show, did a reading, and then I got a book contract. And it was like, that was what I was supposed to do. So I do, part of my career, I do neuropsychiatry, and I treat people with head injury, stroke, dementia, autism, mental retardation. And those are patients, and they get diagnoses. And then the other part of my career, there's nothing to do with medicine at all, and that's medical intuition.
Did Oprah get what you did at that time?
George, you're very sweet and you're very intuitive, and it's you zoom right into the issue. Incidentally, just because we love you so much, anybody who I just got an email from my marketer. Anybody who goes to my website and types in "I love George Norrie" gets a discount in any one of my classes. So,
ooh-hoo.
But anyway. at the time, years and years and years ago, this was before Oprah was into any of this. This was in 1991, and believe it or not, it was 4th of July, now that I think about it.
How about that?
And I did it because I knew that someday it was a high-risk thing to go on the Oprah show and to do a reading where I was behind one camera in one room, and the client was behind another camera in another room. And I was given only the name and the age. Number one, you could be wrong on international TV.
Right.
And look like an idiot. Or number two, it could be a hatchet job. And you could be an idiot.
Yep.
But either way, I hadn't finished my training yet. But if I chose not to do it, I knew that I'd be in some nursing home someday, rocking, saying, I could have been on the Oprah show.
That's right.
On the Oprah show, but I chose not to do it because I was afraid I wouldn't finish my medical school. So I knew that I had to do this because, number one, I wanted to meet Oprah. So I did it, and I nailed the reading. But I remember walking out on stage, and I thought, oh, she's just going to be this really sweet lady. But the first thing she said was, we have a hard time believing you can do this. And I went, oh, my God, I can't believe this. I want to get out of here.
Please, yeah.
But then after, she warmed up because I basically said you wouldn't be where you are if you didn't have a very strong intuition, a gut sense. And she said she's absolutely right because she doesn't do anything that isn't based on a gut sense.
Yeah.
She wouldn't be where she is. And this was back in 91. So we've gone a long way.
We sure have.
OWN Network has gone a long way.